Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." So we find ourselves in a very unusual situation tonight and for the next several weeks, it looks like, in a situation that most of us would not have predicted. I would like to take 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so, and go over some things with the church as far as how we're going to try to navigate and move through this upcoming season that we're in. We're being asked by the government to limit our human-to-human contact, which includes assembling ourselves together for corporate worship. And I realize that people are going to respond to this in different ways. So just on a personal level, some may panic and overreact. And we've seen a lot of that, and it's caused some chaos, particularly in stores and other places like that. And then some may underreact and just go on about your daily business as if nothing has changed and there's no reason for alarm or adjustment. And so that being said, in a congregation that's the size of ours, there's going to be people on both sides of the spectrum, and then there's going to be people in between. So I wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning of this talk and just let you know how I'm trying to think through this so that you can understand the decisions that are being made in the weeks to come. So when it comes to church attendance and being asked for us not to meet, I think it's important that we're able to put these things into the right categories. So what I mean by that is this: I do not believe that this is a test of faithfulness when it comes to whether or not we're going to meet, but rather I believe it's a test of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you why I think that. Number one, churches are not being isolated or not being told that they can't preach the gospel, but everyone is being asked to make sacrifices in order to try and slow the spread of the coronavirus and not to overwhelm our hospitals. I'm comfortable complying with this request and making the temporary sacrifices that are being asked, and I'm comfortable with that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm comfortable with that based on Romans 13. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now, whenever I read this passage in Romans 13, I want to make sure that I make a very clear distinction. The government has asked us to make these temporary sacrifices of not meeting together as a congregation, but the government has not commanded that of us. And so whenever I'm reading As for instance, in verse 2, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and shall receive to themselves damnation. I don't understand that to mean at this point that if anybody decides to meet and have a church service, that they're, you know, the consequence is going to be judgment and damnation for disobedience. What I do want to point out whenever I come to Romans chapter 13 is a couple of principles that ought to govern our thinking when we think about a situation like this. Number one, I want to make sure that we understand in our mind there is a difference in a Romans 13 verses 1 through 7 and something like Acts 5:29, where Peter says we will obey Christ rather than Caesar, or we will obey God rather than Caesar. We're not in a situation right now to where we're being asked to compromise our faith in any way. We're not being asked to stop preaching or anything like that. When we look at Romans 13, three principles that I just want to point out that I think are applicable is, number one, our default position toward the government should not be resistance, but compliance with what is being asked. Okay, so that's out of Romans 13, 1 through 2, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, however else we want to apply that, our default position should not be resistance whenever the government asks us to do something. And yet we have to admit that there's just this ingrained resistance in many of us, and in some it's more than others. You know, some of our default position would be the opposite of whatever we're being told. So if the government told everyone that it was time to go out and stock up on peanut butter, some of us would go stock up on jelly just to prove a point. I say that in tongue in cheek and in humor, but there's probably more truth to that than we'd like to admit. So I would say this is not a time for us to try to hold a default position that would resist simply because we don't appreciate, or we don't agree with, or we don't typically stand on the sides and opinions of what the government might hand down. Number two, Paul says that it's a violation of conscience to rebel. Look in verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And so Paul says you need to obey not just so that you can avoid punishment, but you need to obey for conscience sake. In other words, if your conscience is biblically programmed, you're going to be alerted by it when you sin. And to resist simply for the sake of resisting when you're not being called to compromise your faith is a sin. And so Paul says, for conscience sake, you shouldn't do that. And then third, out of Romans 13:7, we're called to render honor to whom honor is due. And I'll say a little bit more about that whenever I come to this next point. But again, our default position shouldn't be resistance, and we should render the appropriate honor and respect that's due to our leaders. Okay, there's a second principle why I would be comfortable with the decision that I've made in canceling services for this Wednesday and for this Sunday. And that second principle would be based on wisdom. I said earlier, I don't think this is a matter of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. I do think it's a matter of wisdom or a lack of wisdom whenever we're thinking about how to respond. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says this, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, the word evil in this verse could also be translated danger. So we could read it this way. A prudent man foresees danger and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Well, if we're going to be prudent or if we're going to be wise, then I think it's reasonable to think or to believe that if we put ourselves in crowds of people, groups of people, I think it's reasonable to think that we could spread the coronavirus, which the government is trying to contain as much as it can, and that there could be maybe not life-threatening consequences for all of us, but certainly from what we're hearing for the elderly in our congregation. I think it's wise, again, no matter what we believe about the media hype, I think it's wise for us to be able to see this for what it is, in the sense of it's a real virus that's really infecting people. And the last stat that I saw was that about every 6 days, the number of people infected doubles. So if we can do our part of compliance with the government to keep that rate from doubling or from multiplying at the speed that it is, then I think it's prudent that we would do that. To ignore it, I don't think would be considered wisdom. Also, Proverbs 1:5, and I'm going to turn there. Proverbs 1:5 says this: a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, let me turn to one more. Let me turn to Proverbs 12, and then I'll make my point here. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So we could go through Proverbs and we could make note of all kinds of verses that highlight the wisdom that comes along with listening. Now, the reason I think that's so pertinent for this situation is that aside from a few people in our congregation, we could combine all of our medical knowledge and multiply it by two, and we're still nowhere close to being able to make an informed decision about why we would ignore what we're being asked to do. Okay, so I don't claim to be an expert on any of this, and I also don't trust that I have the capacity or the competency to be able to tell you or give you a good reason why we should ignore what the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is asking us to do, or anything else. And I'm confident that no one else listening to this from Ripley Church is competent or has the ability to tell me why we should ignore it either. And so that's not a challenge. I'm not interested necessarily in a bunch of in a bunch of blog links or things that may try to inform me. I've been reading those as well, but I'm just saying in and of myself, I don't have the knowledge to in good conscience ignore what's being asked of us. So that just leaves one big question, and maybe it's a question that's on your mind and a question that's bothering you, or maybe you haven't even thought of it. But the question is, what do we do with a passage like Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25? That's been the passage that I've heard. That's a passage that I've thought about. And so let's just look at it for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so obviously verse 25 is what I'm getting at, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging people to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the opposite of what we've decided to do. We've decided to call off services for Wednesday and for Sunday. And so I just want to make this clarification about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The writer is encouraging people who have grown lazy in their attendance not to view church attendance as an insignificant thing. And so some people can grow cold and indifferent and think it doesn't really matter if I'm there or not there. I've been going to church for years. I've heard everything the pastor's going to say. I just don't seem to get much out of it. Or maybe there are other things that I'd rather be doing. And what Paul's saying is, listen, you need to make church attendance a high priority. Number one, in verse 24, it says, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then it's in verse 25, he goes on to talk about exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 23 talks about us holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and that is strengthened so much by the blessing of being able to assemble together. And so as Paul is encouraging these people, he's encouraging folks who have grown lazy in their attendance or whose view of attendance had shrunk and was not where it needed to be. And sadly, we still struggle with this issue, but I would also say fairly confidently that this has nothing to do with temporarily not meeting due to a potential national health crisis. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is not a proof text for why we should ignore what the government is saying. It's not a proof text for rebelling against the advice of not assembling temporarily for health reasons. And so there are some that are going to disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But when we think about Hebrews and the context of Hebrews, the writer was not saying you need to be assembling despite the fact that there's a potential health crisis. He was saying you need to be assembling with one another because you've grown lazy. And brothers and sisters, that sort of thing, as you've heard in recent sermons, is an issue that's alive and well today. And the coronavirus has done nothing to help or hinder that sort of thing. It's a matter of the heart. And so we're not calling off services out of coldness and indifference. We're calling it off temporarily for other reasons. So I don't think Hebrews 10:25 it would be a reason at this point for us to try to ignore what's being asked. So that just lets you know where my thoughts are. As I've discussed these things with the deacons, they've been in agreement, so it's not a one-man show. But I am trying to lead as wisely as I know how to lead through this. And so if you have concerns about anything I've said when it relates to my decision, then feel free to give me a call and we can discuss those. And I'd be happy to do that. But let's move away from that for now. Let's move on to some things that we need to remember, again, during this unusual time and this unusual season that we're in. Number one, we've got to remember that God is still on his throne. Okay, in the midst of the chaos, most of the chaos is kind of self-induced by folks who are going wild at the grocery stores and different people who are maybe excitable and different things like that we're seeing on TV. So I would say this, that whether you're worried about the coronavirus or frustrated because you think everything's being blown out of proportion, we need to remember that God is sovereign over both of those things. God has sovereignly allowed us to be where we are today. Psalm 115, verse 3 tells us, "Our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever He has pleased." And so, God's not frustrated right now. He's not wishing that everybody would calm down and quit spinning things out of control. He's not wishing we could have got a hold of the virus a long time ago and that these things wouldn't be happening. God is in full control of everything that's happening. And so our part in this is not to try to control. It's not to try to force things. Our part in this whole thing is to respond in a way that's God-honoring. Now, you'll remember last year and in the last several years, we've talked about there are some things that we can control and some things that we cannot control. And the two things we cannot control are people and circumstances. No matter how hard we try, you are not going to be able to control people and circumstances. But what you can control is your response to people and circumstances. And so you want to do your best to respond in a way that's God-honoring. So if you're annoyed by those who seem to be panicking, then I want to encourage you that your response needs to be seasoned with patience and kindness. If you're concerned about folks who don't seem to be taking this thing as seriously as you think they should, I want to remind you, your response needs to be seasoned with patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, forbearance. All those things are going to be needed as we interact with one another and as we respond to our circumstances and the people that the Lord has put in our lives at this time. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, we read, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Now, again, that's something you know, but we're talking here about God's purpose, God's sovereign purpose that's going to stand, which means we're not here by accident. It means that we're not here through some mistake, but we are here where we are today because of the sovereign hand of God. And we can take comfort based on Romans 8:28 that God is working all of this together for our good, those of us who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. And so there's a purpose in this, and you have a caring, loving Father who is working these things for your good. And so, brothers and sisters, I just, again, can't emphasize enough that we have to remember in the days to come, as the frustrations grow, that there are some things we can't control. We can't control them today, and we will not be able to control them tomorrow. And that is our circumstances, and that is the people around us. But the thing that we can control is the way that we respond to people and to our circumstances. And so may God bless us to respond to those things in a way that reflects that we are believing in the sovereign hand of God and His kind providence toward His people. Now, while we need to remember that God is still on His throne, the second thing I want to encourage you with is that we've got to fight not to grow spiritually cold during this time. I'm not sure how long this is going to last. I've heard people mention that the CDC has suggested that the self-quarantine goes on for 8 weeks. Well, I'm going to take it a week at a time because, as we've seen, who knows what a day will bring? I'm not sure. And so I'm not going to try to plan 8 weeks out, but it is likely that at least for a few weeks, we may not see each other. And so I want to encourage you in a couple of things. I want to encourage you to fight not to grow spiritually cold. Okay, so to do that, I want to encourage you to keep up your personal daily prayer and Bible reading. That's something that's going to be important. You're going to need to be able to keep your mind on truth. You're going to need to be able to keep your heart and mind grounded in the promises of God. And not just that, but you need to be in fellowship with God on a daily basis. For some of us, it's easy to fall into a routine to where we're being fed twice a week on Wednesday and on Sunday. And unfortunately, that's just not going to be the case at this point, at least not the way that it has been. And so I want to encourage you that you can't afford to let your personal Bible reading and prayer slack up during this time. Now, we've decided that we were going to devote this whole year to the theme of prayer. And I just want to encourage you that the coronavirus is not going to mess that up. As a matter of fact, it's going to give us more opportunity to be able to press into that. And so we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for the medical staffs, the hospitals that are around us. We need to be praying for those that we know are sick, and we need to be praying that God would bless us to learn the things that He would have us to learn out of this whole situation, this whole episode that we're in right now. And so I want to encourage you again, don't let your Bible reading and your prayer life slack up. Secondly, I want to encourage, and really I want to call husbands and fathers to lead your family in regular times of prayer and family worship. Whether that means you get together and read a passage and make a few comments, whether that means you get together and you're singing hymns together, there's no real prescribed way. But husbands and fathers, during this time to where we're going to be a little more isolated, if you're not already in the practice of getting your family together, I want to encourage you to step up a little and lead your family in regular times of prayer and family worship. My plans for Sunday is that I'm going to plan to preach a Sunday morning sermon on Facebook Live. And I'm doing that thanks to the suggestion and all the groundwork of my brother Tommy. Thankful for his labors in this. And so what that means is, on Sunday morning, you'll be able to go to the Ripley Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, and you'll be able to watch me preach a message from our pulpit live. You don't have to have a Facebook account to go to that page, and I will send a link out to the page later on this week. It's going to be, we're going to start the sermon at 11, and it will end somewhere around 12 o'clock. I want to encourage you to make sure that you attend that wherever you are. I'm also going to try and post Wednesday night messages on sermon audio. I'm going to try to stick with the Psalms. I'm not going to do that this week, but I'm going to do it next week. And again, I want to call husbands and fathers to take the lead in gathering your families and listening to the messages at the regularly scheduled time, if possible. So on Wednesdays, we usually meet at 6:30. I want to encourage you, husbands, if you can, gather your families at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Pray together. Listen to the Bible study together. On Sundays, we're going to try to continue to keep things in a regular scheduled time. So husbands, you might want to meet a little early, around 10:45. Pray with your family. If you have the ability, sing hymns together. And then at 11 o'clock, we're gonna preach a message that hopefully you'll be able to see and take part in live. This routine is going to help. It's going to help make sure that you keep yourself accountable through the week, and it's going to help and make sure that you don't hope to get to it at some point and it go by the wayside. So I just want to encourage you, if it's at all possible, to do that. Next, I want to encourage you to take the time to read this month's resource on prayer. We still have several of those out on the table. It's the resource Pray On, Pray Fervently by Horatius Bonar. It's a small one, but it's a good one. And so if you don't have that, if you didn't pick it up yet, I would encourage you to drop by the church and pick it up. Don't all come at once, but drop by, pick it up. And if that's not possible, if you'll contact me, I'll make arrangements to get that resource to you. I have next month's resource in already, and it's going to be a good one, and I'm going to do my best to try to get that out to you as well. So just encourage you to keep up your reading on those things. And then next, I want to encourage you to take the time to pick up the phone and check on folks in our congregation. You don't have to call everybody in a single day, but let's try to make a goal of checking in on one or two members a day. We still have the ability to try to provoke one another unto love and to good works. We still have the ability to encourage one another. We still have the ability to love one another, even if we can't do any of that stuff face to face right now. And so I want to encourage you to take advantage of the technology that you have, and let's pick up the phone and try to check in on one or two people a day, if we can. Well, that's all I have for tonight. And it's, again, it's not a sermon, but it's just a word from your pastor to hope to try to encourage you, to inform you on why we're doing some of the things that we're doing. And I'm going to be praying for you this week that the Lord would bless you. I look forward to meeting with you on Sunday via Facebook, and ask that you would pray that the Lord would bless our time together. God bless you. I love you. Look forward to being with you soon.